Melbourne, it's just the greatest city in the world. For the seventh time running, yes, we've all heard it before. I don't know about you, but my eyebrows sort of raise up and I think, yeah, really? Seven times in a row, Melbourne is that great. Joining us in the studio is somebody who really does understand what makes a city great. Brent Tatarian is a city planner. He was the chief planner for our main rival in world's most livable city, and that, of course, is Canada's Vancouver. For 7 years to 2012, he was in the chief planning post, and during the time, of course, it held the world's most livable city mantle, so he knows what it means to make a world's most livable city. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, is Melbourne the world's most livable city? Did they get it right?
No, it's not.
Is Vancouver?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And let's get that out of the way right now. I'm here in your beautiful city, which I love and which I do believe is a very livable city. For a conference, and I gave my keynote at the conference, which was all about transportation and mobility and walking, biking, and public transit. I gave my talk a couple of hours before the announcement, and I said, and your counselors preceded me, and I said, I know you're all on pins and needles to hear the announcement of whether you're still the most livable city. And I'll take the pressure off you. You're not, and you never were. And if you think I'm just being competitive between our two cities, Vancouver was never the most livable city in the world. And I think what we need to have is a really honest conversation about what real livability means and for who, because, of course, those rankings, which I find interesting, they're useful as a conversation starter about what real livability is. And even in your intro for me, you said the greatest city in the world. And, of course, the greatest city in the world is a different conversation about the most livable city in the world, because those aren't necessarily the same thing. In the greatest city of the world, you talk about cities like New York and London, but you don't talk about necessarily those cities when you're talking about the most livable city in the world. So it's all very subjective. These rankings, my main message to the politicians who like to chortle over them is take them with a grain of salt. Make sure you understand what they're for.
Well, the politicians don't do that if you win.
They're the main audience. I believe they're the main audience for these rankings. But you have to remember what they were originally and still are officially for, which is not about real livability for locals. It's for... it's for what's called hardship payments, hardship allowances for high-ranking executives who get placed around the world. So it's really about livability for them and not for the locals. And it's about avoiding the things that might make those placements uncomfortable people. So it's more about war, the absence of war and crime and this kind of thing, than it is necessarily about what's special about Melbourne's lanes, for example, which don't, it's urban alleys, which don't really get recognition in these kinds of rankings.
I think there's only sort of five key areas, and one of them is security. And interestingly, Sydney dropped down this year, and apparently due to that ranking of, you know, potential threats to security. How much does that matter? I mean, obviously, you know, the capital of Syria, Damascus, is the least livable city, which gives you some indication. But I mean, what do you think about the categories that this is judged on?
Well, it's hard to have a conversation about livability if you're afraid all the time. And so basic safety, basic crime and war, et cetera, is a precondition for a conversation about livability. The absence of it doesn't mean you're livable, but the presence of it makes it really hard for you to feel like you're a livable city. And as an example, I was an advisor for 2 years for Medellin, Colombia, which was 20 years ago the murder capital of the world. This was Pablo Escobar and guerrilla warfare. And in 20 years, they have transformed themselves, taken their streets back, invested in infrastructure for walking, biking, and transit that would make every Australian city envious. And they did it all really fast because they had this incredible common vision that we have to stop the murders. That's literally what the conversation was about. Now, the Wall Street Journal calls them the most innovative city in the world because they've done a complete turnaround. And I'm inspired by cities like that. You know, are they one of the most livable cities in the world? No, but in many ways, they're exciting, they're vibrant, and they've done something that had a degree of difficulty that would make our problems seem easy by comparison. So, yeah, that's what I mean when I say that for this kind of ranking, it's often the absence of those things, like fear and security issues, rather than the presence of things that really make a city livable and also make a city lovable. You know, there's a big conversation out there about is livability is enough and are livable cities boring cities? So we always have that. It gets into this big conversation about how to build a great city. A complete city is the term I used when I was chief planner in Vancouver, because at the time we were ranked number one and I said, A, I don't really give that much weight. Let's have a real conversation about real livability. And by the way, is livability enough? Or do we want to be known for being more than good at one thing?
So how would you do it? How would you run this ranking and what would you call it? And who would you give it to?
Well, you know, the hard part is to recognize that if you really want to get real about livability, there's a lot you can quantify, which is what the Economist magazine loves to focus on, because you can count it. And that means you can compare cities. But there's a lot. We all know there's a lot about livability and lovability that you can't count. Not all that counts can be counted, as the saying goes. So there's great quality of life and qualitative issues and subjective issues about why people love their city, love their neighborhood, even if other people don't necessarily love it. So I think it's less about trying to build a better methodology when you can't measure something really like livability. And it's more about putting this kind of study into its context so you don't go overboard. And my main message to everybody is don't go overboard. And I said, you know,
I don't think they heard that.
Your mayor wasn't in the room at the time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there was more anxiety and anxiousness about the release of the rankings here than I remember ever existing in Vancouver.
You folks
really take it seriously, I have to tell you. And I don't mind that. I like competition between cities because I want everybody to finish in a tie because I love every city. I haven't been chief planner of Vancouver for 6 years. I advise cities all over the world, including 7 or 8 Australian cities and 4 Kiwi cities. So I want every city to improve, and competition can be good for that.
I'll tell you one thing
about... If you're focused on the right and real things and not distracted.
This city does not like ties, Brent. I can promise you that of any kind. But look, you've been in Melbourne for a conference this week, the National Traffic and Transport Conference. Mm-hmm. What's something, you know, feasible that you would change to make Melbourne a more lovable city?
Well, livable and lovable. One of the comments I made was what we were talking about at this conference is instrumental to a real conversation about livability and lovability. And I said, I know Melbourne is not the most livable city in the world because outside of an outstanding downtown, you have pretty ordinary or even below average suburbs. And I actually said that when I was in town working for the Heart Foundation back in March. You have a fantastic inner city, a world-class inner city, surrounded by even below average suburbs.
What do you mean by below average?
Car dependent.
Yeah.
Car dependent. And you tend to focus an awful lot of attention on the fact that you have the largest tram network in the world, which I love, by the way. Your tram network is fantastic. My son, who I brought on my trip here in March, loves your trams. He still talks about the trams. But you don't have the land use and the density around the trams to lead to more higher ridership. By comparison, Vancouver's ridership is much higher on public transit because we have the density. And you treat density in Australian cities, although it's changing in some of them, like a dirty word. Density and smart density, what I call density done well, is the key to not just ridership on transit. It's key to giving people choices and options other than being trapped in their car for everything. That's a really important criteria for livability. I also said, can you be the most livable city in the world if you're not the most walkable city in the world? The city that we forget, by the way, in the rankings between Melbourne and Vancouver is Vienna. And Vienna actually has a stronger case for most livable city in the world, because there's actually four rankings out there, and the only city that's near the top of all four rankings is Vienna, whereas Melbourne's at the top of only one. You guys tend to focus on the one ranking that puts you on top. It's a bit of cherry picking. But when you go to Vienna, it's walkable everywhere. It's multimodal everywhere. So take your learning. What I talk about when I come to work in Melbourne for the Heart Foundation and other agencies is, how do you take that success you've had in the inner city and start to make better suburbs, more walkable suburbs, less car dependent, more bikeable suburbs, more transit friendly suburbs, where you have choices other than the car? And that's not about forcing people out of their cars. It's about giving people options so they're not trapped in the car. Really hard to have a credible conversation about livability if you haven't solved that issue.
Well, Brent, I can hear the hears of all the people trapped in their cars listening to you right now. Thank you very much for coming into the studio and talking to us about it. And I find it particularly interesting to hear that we're more competitive about it than other places. That's
well, at least more than Canadians, but maybe that's
perhaps because it's seven in a row, and there's an expectation now that
well, we had five in a row before they bumped us.
It's like interest rates in Australia. You know, there's just an expectation.
So have a conversation about it. I love the opportunity to have this kind of conversation with you about it. But don't be distracted and don't focus on getting better in the rankings. Focus on really being more livable.
Thank you. Brent Todarian, he's the city planner and was the chief planner for our, well, chief rival, this Canadian city of Vancouver.